This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN Prime Time, live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Gunnar Stockton into the end zone. Really nice play. They showed the replay, Matt. It was supposed to be a screen to the tight end. He pump faked. The defense shifted, and he brought it in and was able to run into the end zone for a score. So Georgia takes the lead 7-6. Ole Miss back out there for their fourth possession. Live number 6.5 total back to 51.5. Anyone out there have a first touchdown on Gunnar Stockton? Let us know. You can always tweet us at 1TimMurray, at MattNewmans247. Second quarter just underway, and Ole Miss will be facing a third and short here. What are you laughing about?
Something on Twitter. Right. We'll get to it later. We got to get to Bruce Marshall first.
All right, let's do that. Let's go to our progressive guest line, and Bruce Marshall, handicapper, joins us now. Always love talking to Bruce, and we've got college football on our minds, so let's talk a little college football tomorrow. Believe it or not, we still have three bowl games left before we get to the semifinals. Let's go to Memphis tomorrow, and we got Navy against Cincinnati. This number has been very much on the move as I'm going to try to turn my attention away from Ole Miss here as they get a first down. But you can lay 7 with Navy, total sitting at 55. What do you make of tomorrow's Liberty Bowl between Navy and Cincinnati?
Yeah, and Happy New Year, boys. I'm a little reluctant to back Navy because they had not been a great point spread team this year, certainly not like last year. But I'm going to back them tomorrow. A couple of things here. We saw this with Army last week in the game against UConn. Where UConn had several guys opting out, and Army didn't, as service academies usually don't in the bowls, and Army won in a romp. Navy, similar situation tomorrow. Everybody's there. This is Blake Horvath. It'll be his last game. The other side, Cincinnati, a lot of defections. Brendan Sorsby won, the quarterback. He's on the move. He's in the portal. The backup hardly took any snaps this year. He's been in the program a few years, but has hardly played. Top rusher is out. Second leading receiver is out. You get the idea. A lot of guys are best defenders are going to be missing for Cincinnati. So it looks like the Bearcats are going to be going with sort of a skeleton crew there tomorrow and a bad sort of team to play in a bowl game, as UConn found out against Army last week. I'm going to lay it with Navy tomorrow, see what happens.
Bruce Marshall, longtime Gold Sheet handicapper with CBS Sportsline now. Bruce, has it been a happy new year for you so far today? Did you have Oregon? Did you have Indiana? What do you have here in Ole Miss, Georgia?
Yeah, half and half thus far. I was on Oregon. I was on Alabama, though. I must admit to being a little stunned by that one, though. Served me right for doubting Indiana, I guess. I do have Georgia here tonight, so we'll see what happens. Two games today, and this one, I mean, all sort of lower scoring defensive battles, and the way Oregon really just shut the Texas Tech down, my goodness, that I didn't see that coming like in that manner. I thought that would be a lot higher scoring game. And then we got into the second quarter with Indiana, Alabama, you could kind of see this wasn't going to work for the Tide today. What an effort by the Hoosiers. Wes Reynolds must be over the moon.
I think he's going to float all the way back from Pasadena.
He had his own float. Vegas. Wes had his own float in the Rose Parade.
He was taking some some screenshot or pictures, I should say, from the Rose Bowl.
Bruce,
parade.
It's kind of odd to see the Holiday Bowl on January 2nd. But let's shift the focus here to San Diego, Snapdragon Stadium tomorrow, Arizona, SMU. Right now you can find SMU a 1.5-point favorite, or you can find this game at Pick'em. Do you prefer a side in the Holiday Bowl?
I do prefer a side. I'm going to go with Arizona here, Matt. Interesting. Both of these teams and the quarterbacks both ways are going to stick around, it looks like, for next year. So Fafita and Jennings are going to complete their careers at their where they started. So how about that? Good deal. But Arizona this year really reminded me of that team 2 years ago when Fafita was a freshman and Jed Fish was still there. Really roared down the stretch. They beat Oklahoma in the bowl that year. And by the end of the season 2 years ago, Arizona was a top 10, if I don't like a top 5 team 2 years ago. Not sure they're quite there this year, but the similar things happened. They were so hot down the stretch and they were taking teams apart. And Fafita got his mojo back this year. And Brent Brennan got off the hot seat this year. He changed his staff around. He brought a lot of guys from San Jose with him last year, and it didn't work out. And he made some changes on staff. All of it seemed to work. This team only had really one bad effort this year. That was the Iowa State game. They could theoretically, I think, have, you know, they could have played Texas Tech a lot better than BYU did. And they're not far from being a playoff caliber team. I'm going to go with Arizona tomorrow and to finish the season on an upbeat note, just like they did 2 years ago when Fifita was a freshman.
Bruce Marshall joining us right now as Ole Miss scores touchdown. A touchdown. Very easy drive there. Paul, Charlie Weiss Jr. is right now having the best of this Georgia defense. This has been impressive to see and not impressive by the Georgia defense so far. Let's pivot to week 18 of the NFL. Always a unique handicap, but we do have a handful of games that we know are important to both sides. We'll start with the first game, Carolina-Tampa Bay. Right now, Tampa Bay, we'll call them a three-point favorite. Circa actually down to 2.5. What do you make of this spot? Carolina-Tampa Bay sort of playing for the NFC South. If Tampa wins, they still need Atlanta to lose. Kind of a unique wrinkle there.
Yeah, I'm back Carolina here. I think Tampa Bay is really hard to talk right now.
Hey Bruce, we're gonna reconnect with Bruce here in just a moment. Maybe we'll get him back on the other side of the break. Ole Miss going for two. Is this too early to chase points, Matt?
Yes.
They do not get it. That's 12-7.
That's a move out of inexperience by Pete Golding. You do not do this in the second quarter, Tim. 10.5 minutes to go in the second quarter. You're going for two. Big mistake. And I'm not saying that out of hindsight. I'm always against these sort of moves this early in the game, and this one backfires on the Rebels.
Trinidad Chambliss, though, touchdown pass, really nice pass.
I'll tell you what, Chambliss is playing well so far.
Yeah, Chambliss, his offense is playing well. Four possessions. This is a game right now. The way that it's trending, Matt, I would actually probably look over in this game. It's 56.5 now. Pre-game was, what, 55.5? It doesn't feel like the way that these two teams are playing, a lot of stops are coming. You're not getting the best of the number, obviously. It was down to, what, 48.5 just a little while ago. But, man, it does feel like these two teams are going to be moving up and down and exchanging scores like they did back in October.
So I talked about in the pregame show was that Georgia is a team known for slow starts. That was not the case in the SEC championship game, but otherwise throughout the season, Georgia's had a lot of slow starts. Kirby Smart has been great at making adjustments at halftime. So keep that in mind. We'll see where we are at the half here, but Kirby Smart's been really good in the second half. His defense has not lived up to the hype here in the first half.
No, they played really well against Alabama, but now you're like, all right, well, he played well against Alabama.
Alabama's no good.
Indiana held them to less than 200 yards of offense. Oklahoma held them to less than 300 yards of offense. This is obviously not a prolific Alabama offense, but never forget that gutsy fourth down call against Auburn, man. I will never forget it. That forever in history of college football, I'll always remember a gutsy call on fourth down against a 5-7 football team.
Auburn finished 1-7 in the SEC. The committee was giving Auburn, look, a lot of stuff on the college football committee is rigged. It's rigged for the SEC and the Big Ten behind the scenes, and I think even in front of the scenes. Everybody knows it. You know it's the system's rigged for the SEC and the Big Ten. Tim, I think right now a lot of people who were critical of Notre Dame and said that Irish didn't deserve to be in the playoff got to obviously rethink that position because the Irish would not have been defeated 38-3 today in Pasadena. That's for sure.
I mean, Indiana might have beat Notre Dame. There's no doubt Indiana looked awesome today, but they would not. I think it is fair to say Notre Dame would not have lost by 35. And it's funny because you think back and now George is getting predictable as they run six straight times up the middle, and Ole Miss is going to sell out for that. Now a big third down coming up here for Georgia. It is pretty interesting, though, Matt, when you think back to this year and how outside of the SEC championship, it was predictable that Georgia would start slow. I mean, hindsight is 20/20, but you probably shouldn't have laid pre-flop 6.5 with Georgia, knowing that this is a team that starts as slow as they always do. Big third down upcoming here, 3rd and 5 for the Georgia offense. They just scored on their last drive. It was a very impressive drive, and they are going to get the first down here. So a little bit of a delayed draw gets them the first down. Live number right now, 2.5 in favor of Georgia. Spread or total is 55.5 right now.
Not really going out on a limb here, but I don't think Georgia's going to cover the 6 or 6.5 for the game. Right now, at this point, I just want Georgia to win the game and keep those money line bets alive. That's my main concern. Now, the second half, things can change. Kirby Smart, like I said, very good with adjustments at halftime, and maybe Georgia tilts the field more in their favor in the second half. But right now, I think if Georgia wins this game, Tim, it's going to be a sweat in the fourth quarter, and it's just you can see that Georgia's not really winning at the line of scrimmage. And that's the biggest problem. If you're thinking, well, everything's going to be fine here, Georgia's going to come back and win, you got to win at the line of scrimmage, or that's not going to happen. Indiana was whipping Alabama at the line of scrimmage for the majority of today's game.
That is not happening right now. Yeah. I mean, you could tell from the jump, the first possession, maybe that Indiana was going to dominate that game, and they did. And, you know, it was funny. I looked at the second half line. I think the second half line was -2.5. It was 17-0. It's like, I think Indiana, knowing Cignetti, he's a bully. They're going to, if he can bully Alabama, he's going to do so. And by the way, man, whatever it is, Georgia's receivers are not getting open downfield. And they got another third down upcoming. I would not be surprised, Matt, if soon Ole Miss flips to the favorite here. We'll see a big third down coming. Bruce Marshall is back. We're going to hold him over, see if he can hang out for the next segment since we're up against it here. So a big third down and 13 coming midway through the second quarter. Trinidad Chambliss just threw a touchdown pass a moment ago, and they went for two. A little early to be chasing points here, but a big third and 13 for the Georgia Bulldogs. And they throw a screen to Zachariah Branch. He can make some plays, and he did so.
That should have been stopped by the Ole Miss defense. Got a lucky break there. Zachariah Branch with a great individual play.
All right, 12-7, 3rd and 13 converted. And we've also got Bruce Marshall. He'll join us to talk some NFL on the other side.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with Visa Pro.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Ooh, almost into the end zone. A big third down pickup. Gunnar Stockton creates a little room, and man, they don't stretch the field vertically, man.
Death by the screen pass, right? That's what wide receiver screens, running back screens, they're Georgia. Like you said, not stretching the field, but the running game and the screen pass is what's killing the Ole Miss defense right now.
Big pickup there to touchdown. Cash Jones, and into the end zone goes Georgia. And I'm going to go ahead and say, Matt, they're not going to chase points right now as they get a touchdown to take the lead 13-12. Gunnar Stockton with his second touchdown run of the game. A couple of big third down conversions right before he went to break. They threw a screen to Zachariah Branch. He ducked a tackler and then made another man miss.
Oh, no.
He's the holder.
I was going to say, don't tell me Georgia's going for two.
No, come on. He's the holder.
I thought he was waiting for the play call. That's why he's looking at the sideline. Yeah. I said, no, you cannot do this. Don't start the countering two-point conversions here. Georgia is going to kick it and go up 14-12. And we got 4:05 left in the second quarter. Tim suddenly looking like an over game.
Yep. Total 57.5 in the spread. Back to where we were at the start of the game. 6.5 is where we're at. Georgia -315 on the money line. All right. We have him back, Bruce Marshall. He went through the apparently the fast food drive-through phone. Oh, my gosh. They just replayed. Gunnar Stockton took a lick on that drive. But Bruce Marshall has rejoined us, and let's get his analysis, as we were talking about before his signal dropped, on Carolina and Tampa. Right now, Tampa laying around 3 at most shops, a juice 2.5 out there at Circa. What do you make of the NFC South showdown to start Week 18?
I can't back Tampa Bay here the way they're going, although most of these games have been close losses except the Ram game in the slump. But they just aren't getting over the hump. Baker Mayfield's been making mistakes. They're not running the ball consistently. They've had
injury problems up on the defensive front. In Carolina, for what it's worth, I mean, it's kind of going this every other week thing. They play a good game. They haven't been terribly consistent themselves, but every other week winning is better than losing every week, and that's what Tampa Bay's been doing the last month and a half. I think Carolina wins this thing and sews up the NFC South in the process. They may not even need to win to sew it up, but I think they'll take care of business before worrying about letting the Falcons help them on Sunday.
Bruce, Week 18, used to be Week 17, always a tricky handicap in a lot of different ways. Do you like this Week 18 schedule this week, the way it sets up?
Yeah, I do, but you're right. I mean, this reminds me, this is like a preseason weekend almost. So you just have to sort of have a, you know, working knowledge of who you think is going to be in the game. And the thing that's a little the curveball about this weekend is a lot of guys, starters play like in the first series or two, and then they get pulled. So it's backups who play the rest of the way. But if you got a feel for the backups, and this is what preseason's actually worked for me pretty good in recent years, kind of figure it from that perspective. But you're right, it's different than the rest of the regular season for sure.
Well, how do you think this game's going to be played in Denver with what's happened here with the Chargers? Are going to rest Justin Herbert and other starters? You remember last year, Week 18, I believe the Broncos beat the Chiefs 38-0. The Chiefs packed it in, did not show up that day. What do you think will happen here with Denver in a 12.5-point favorite against the L.A. Chargers?
Yeah, and I do remember that. And the thing is, this year about Denver, I know Trey Lance is going the other way, and Harbaugh's going to rest like everybody who's banged up. So it'll be an understrength a Charger team for sure. Denver this year, though, look at them. This is a different team than last year. Last year, they were able to parlay a lot of big plays from the defense, pick sixes, scoops and scores, things like that, and they extended a lot of margins. They aren't doing that this year. It's the way this offense goes, just very patient, chopping its way downfield, short little chips here and there. I think they do miss J.K. Dobbins some. But look at their one-score games they've played against Tennessee, against the Giants, against the Jets, against the Raiders twice, against the Chiefs minus Mahomes and with Ladukun last week at quarterback. I think Denver is about, 2-9, 2-10 as a favorite, or they've won nine games where they haven't covered. That's makes them a very hard sell. This is more of a cautionary thing for me here. I wouldn't play Denver this week just because that's not in their personality. I don't know that I would back the Chargers because of all the reserves, but it's just more of a cautionary thing. Well, be careful back in Denver this week.
Bruce Marshall joining us here, courtesy of our Progressive guest line. Once again, quick update, 4 minutes to go, first half, 14-12. Georgia with the lead over Ole Miss.
Tim,
Ole Miss has the ball back.
Just protected, bought a little insurance on my Georgia money line exposure here. Took Ole Miss plus 6.5 at minus 120 for a small percentage of it all. I'm pretty impressed by the way the Rebels have actually played here so far.
I would agree. Yeah. It has been a very strong performance from Chinnerdad Chambliss and the offense. Going back to Saturday night, we've got Seattle and San Francisco. Battle for the one seed, battle for the NFC West. Seattle, a slight road favorite in this one against San Francisco.
Yes, those will be the 49ers on the field Saturday night. They're going to be wearing some very funky uniforms they've never worn before. All black and these saloon-style numbers. So anyway, that will be the 49ers there. Right now, I don't think anybody in the league is playing better than Brock Purdy has the last month and a half or since he came back. He's been absolutely on fire. And Kittle will probably play this week. They didn't even need him last week. McCaffrey's a little banged up, but this offense is just percolating so much right now. I know Seattle is very good, and they've been very good on the road this season. This, though, I don't have to remind anybody of this who remembered last year. This is right when Sam Darnold hit the wall last year with the Vikings. That last regular season game at Detroit, very similar situation in this game the Seahawks and 49ers Saturday night. Really imploded, and then he was terrible in the playoff game against the Rams. I don't know that I trust Darnold in this sort of a big game. He's made too many mistakes this season for me, even though generally good. I'm going to take the Niners tomorrow Saturday night, and that will sew it up, and they could stay at home all the way to the Super Bowl.
Tim is exasperated here by the Ole Miss offense and success against the Georgia defense so far. How
They're
about
doing a good job.
Sunday night? All in here, Ravens Steelers for the AFC North. And Bruce, tell me if you care about this trend or not. In the regular season meetings between Mike Tomlin and John Harbaugh, the underdog is 25-7-3 ATS. Looks like we're going to have a Georgia touchdown off a turnover. And now you're going to get a much better live number on Ole Miss if he
wasn't down.
Well, yeah, we're going to have to watch the replay here. Anyway, Bruce, let's continue here with Ravens and Steelers. And do you like the home dog or the road favorite for the battle for the AFC North and a ticket to the playoffs?
Well, yeah, and I do respect that trend. I mean, most of these games over the years have been very, very close, and the underdogs have covered a lot. What I don't like here about the Baltimore side is I wish Lamar wouldn't play if I was Baltimore. He hasn't looked the same all year since he came back. He doesn't have that explosive burst out of the pocket, and that's what makes him Lamar Jackson. If he doesn't have that, he's really just another quarterback. And reflected in the performances the second half of the season, especially the past month, I almost think they're better off with Huntley in there. They've won games with him before. They almost won that playoff game a couple of years ago at Cincinnati with Huntley. Get the ball to Derrick Henry. For Baltimore's sake, I think they're better off playing this game on the road than they are at home. They seem to play better on the road this year. And I just don't know what Pittsburgh's got right now. The Metcalf absence is bad. This team has been barely squeaking by all year. I just think Baltimore is better. I'm sorry, it's a light vote for Baltimore. Stronger vote if I hear that Huntley's going to start. That sounds kind of backwards, but that's how I see it on Sunday night.
Bruce, always appreciate your insight. Best of luck with your bets tomorrow and in Week 18 of the NFL season.
Happy New Year, boys. Thank you.
There he is. Thanks, Bruce Marshall. Giving us the latest, and let's give you the latest on what just unfolded. Yes, I was a bit exasperated because every time Ole Miss got back to pass or run, they were getting yardage, and then Kawan Lacy fumbled, and it was picked up, returned for a score, and now the question, Matt, with 2:34 to go in the second quarter, Georgia laying 12.5.
That's a big number. I would take the 12.5 with Ole Miss.
Yeah, I think I'm going to take some.
I jumped in a little bit too soon there. I was getting nervous about all the Georgia exposure I had and put about 20% of that on Ole Miss plus 6.5, and now I could have had 12.5, which that's a mistake. Actually, I'm seeing a book right now. It's got 14.5 at minus 117.
Really?
Would you rather take plus 12.5 at minus 115 or plus 14.5 at minus 117?
I'd rather take the 14.5, Matt.
I know. In fact, I think I'll put a little bit more on that. Maybe I can get back what I lost. If I would happen to lose that live bet on the plus 6.5, now I got 14.5 there. That's a lot.
That is, yeah. Here at Circa, by the way, that is where the number is at. So, I'm going to put in a little bit there on.
That's at Westgate Superbook, by the way. If you got the live, if you can bet live there, you can get 14.5 on Ole Miss at minus 117 right now. I think that's a pretty good bet.
Yeah, I just took the 14.5. as well. So I have Georgia minus 6.5 pre-flop, and I just went in about a half unit play on Ole Miss plus 14.
You can make a case, Tim, that before that fumble by Lacy, the Ole Miss was outplaying Georgia in this game, right?
Yep. That's Matt Eumanns. I'm Tim Murray. It is VSiN Primetime Scoop and Score for the Georgia Bulldogs. It is now 21-12. Georgia with the lead, but Ole Miss will have one final crack at it before the end of the first half.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Can Ole Miss get some points before the end of the first half? A game-changing play just a moment ago from Everett, the linebacker for Georgia. Scoop and score. Kawan Lacy was going down. Ball popped out. Ran it back to the end zone. Made it 21-12 and got the live number at Circa. A couple other spots in town. Up to 14.5. Both Matt and I took a little piece. We both have pregame positions on the Georgia Bulldogs. I laid 6.5. You've got a money line parlay. You've got a little 6.5 as well. So trying to middle it, and we'll see what Ole Miss is able to do on the final drive of the first half. Just a reminder, Georgia does get the ball to start the second half as well.
It feels like Ole Miss has played way too well to be down 21-12.
It's like the opposite of Texas Tech and Oregon. They went into the locker room, and I'm thinking, man, Oregon's only up 6-0. Now, it ultimately didn't matter because the offense for Texas Tech was horrific, but I would agree. I mean, it feels like this is, I wouldn't say dominated, but I would say through this, I would say it's an even game. I wouldn't say one right. team's better than the other.
But here's the difference. Ole Miss has made two big mistakes, right? One is Pete Golding going for two way too early in the game when he should not have done it with 10 and a half minutes to go in the second quarter. You don't go for two in that spot. That's an inexperienced coach. That's a dumb decision. Don't get it. It's kind of like he deserved not to get it because that decision was so dumb. So you go for two, don't get it. And then you have the fumble by Lacy, who's been great in this game, by the way, stud running back. Georgia takes it back for six. And those two big mistakes right now are the reason the Rebels are down by nine. But I still think they're going to be in this game. I really don't think Georgia's going to run away and hide. Chambliss, we were just talking about this off the air. Ole Miss quarterback, Trinidad Chambliss, he's, what, 10-1 as a starter? Is that right?
I think so. That sounds right.
He is, I mean, how much money could he make in the portal the way college is set up now with unrestricted free agency and no salary cap, and there's no cap, no matter what anyone
tells
you. Oh,
there's $20 million.
There's no cap.
Yeah, okay.
How much can he make?
I tell you what.
Bryce Underwood's worth 12 or 14 or whatever he's worth, and he's not worth that, by the way.
Think about
What should Chambliss get?
Think about a team today that bought a elite defense, and they were elite. Texas Tech's defense was no joke. Yeah. But their quarterback, they tried to be, honor their guy, Morton. Now, Chambliss, I believe, needs to get a waiver in order to get a 6-year.
He'll probably get it.
Yeah.
Anybody who fights the NCAA in a lawsuit right now is winning.
And there's pro basketball players playing college basketball right now, potentially. If he's available, he becomes the number one player for sure. Right now, you're looking at Sorsby, the Cincinnati transfer, Drew Mestemaker. Those are your top two options in the portal. If Trinidad Chambliss became available, whoo, buddy.
Huh.
Yeah, talking $6, $7, $8 million. I don't know.
Now, where was he last year at this time?
Ferris State.
That's
Division
crazy.
Two Ferris State.
I mean, you can make a Disney movie out of Kurt Cignetti, and you could also make one out of Trinidad Chambliss.
Yeah.
Right? Those are the two best stories in college football.
And I'll say this. I would love, for the sport, I would think it would be cool for Trinidad Chambliss to come back. I don't know what his pro prospects are. I imagine he would get drafted, but probably not that high. He's a dynamic player in college football.
Oh, a drop right there. Man, I tell you, if you can bet Ole Miss, you got to feel like you're snake bitten right now. That pass over the middle by Chambliss, right on the money, and the was that the tight end, or was that the... Who was that?
Let's watch the replay. It was a little bit behind him, but he's got to make that catch.
Just a little bit behind him, but he should have made the catch.
Chambliss is throwing the ball like 90 miles an hour tonight. He is pumped up for this game, Matt. Fourth and three, and are they going to punt it? Yes, they are going to
punt
it back. This is a massive spot here for Pete Golding's defense as Georgia gets the ball. Talk about how this game could flip, Matt. Mm. If Georgia scores here, they get the ball to start the second half, this thing could get away from Ole Miss before we know it.
Ole Miss just playing too well to let this game get away, though. That's the sense. Maybe I'm wrong, but Georgia's lucky to be up nine. But you're right. Georgia's going to get the ball now with 2 minutes to go and get the ball to open the second half. So that live number is going to balloon a little bit, all things considered, you would think. But the live number at DraftKings right now, 12.5. We were just talking about 14.5 for the Ole Miss possession. Does that make sense to you? You're getting 14.5 with Ole Miss before that possession. They have to punt. Now Georgia's going to get back-to-back possessions, and the number goes down to 12.5?
No, doesn't make sense. By the way, I'm just looking at it real quick. Oh, the touchdown came with 4:05 to go. I was thinking there's a possibility for the middle eight of Georgia to be just enormous. And maybe it was had something to do with Gunnar Stockton getting smacked on that one. Well, speaking of getting smacked, Matt, that's what Indiana did to Alabama today. Dominant performance, 38-3. I've got a stat for you from OptiStats in just a moment.
There's a lot of stats out of this.
But let's hear from Google Me himself, Kurt Cignetti, after the win there for the Indiana Hoosiers.
How do you describe the turnaround and what you've been able to build in a short period of time?
It'd be a hell of a movie. There'd be a big cast of characters because it's all about people. You got to have the right people on your staff, the right guys in the locker room, and we've been very fortunate. And these guys buy in. They all think alike. They play like we want them to play. There's been a lot of firsts. It is kind of surreal. There's no doubt about it. I understand why there's been a lot of skeptics, but I only have one thing to say. Hoosiers!
Wow. Can you... I wish we had a camera on Wes Reynolds when Kirk Cignetti said,
I guarantee you what he was doing. He was smiling and he was holding a cigarette like this.
I don't know if you're... Are you allowed to smoke inside the Rose Bowl?
Hey, breaking all the rules.
That's true.
Who cares today?
The Indiana Hoosiers just won by 35 points in the Rose Bowl against Alabama per OptiStats. How about this, Matt? Entering today, every team currently in the FBS had suffered at least one 30-point loss in the 21st century, except for Alabama. Indiana put an end to that today. 35-point win for the Indiana Hoosiers over Alabama. Never forget that gutsy fourth down, though, on the road against Auburn, Matt. That was huge. Massive for... forget what happened in the SEC championship. We couldn't punish them. We could punish BYU, but not Alabama for that loss against Georgia. But Indiana, man, all kidding aside, what a dominant performance. Impressive to see by the Indiana Hoosiers. As Ole Miss defense stands up, Matt.
Yeah,
and they'll get the ball back here. 52 seconds to go. They just used their final timeout. And live number 11.5. Georgia will get the ball to start the half. Ole Miss is capable of getting down the field very quickly. This is a big punt upcoming here for Georgia. Can they try to push Ole Miss a little bit further back? One thing we do know about Ole Miss, they've got a kicker who can hit it pretty much from anywhere.
I know.
By the way, how about
he's hit, what, a 56 and 50, a 55?
I think 256.
But if he's hit two bombs, it would have been good from 60-plus or 65-plus. So live line has dropped to 11.5. Georgia up 21-12, and live total now 61.5. I think that's surprising, too, Tim, is how early in the game it looked like this was an under.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say dead under, but it was trending under.
Total was 48.5, I want to say.
48.5, and now it's 61.5.
First half over has hit, so I'm glad I did not go back to the well on first half under. I stayed off on this one, thankfully. I want to go back to Indiana real quick. Our buddy Brad Powers, I want to show you this tweet that he put up there. As Kirk Cignetti told Reese Davis of ESPN, it's like a movie. You said they could be a Disney movie,
it could
Matt.
Be.
Brad Powers
Nobody
said...
Nobody would believe what's happened in the last few years. It's fantasy.
Brad Powers said he would favor Indiana by 35 points.
More.
Over the team Cignetti inherited 2 years ago.
More. I respect Brad's number there. But that's a great tweet by him, too, because you think about how bad that Indiana team was a couple of years ago. I would favor this Indiana team by 40, maybe a little bit more. First of all, think about the difference in the coach. It was Tom Allen, the former coach, and Kurt Cignetti, who right now is looking like he's ready for the Hall of Fame. Hey, how about this? I'm going to propose. I got an idea for you.
All right.
For Kurt Cignetti's future. We don't have time to get into it right now. It's just going to be a tease. I'm going to get into this later in the show. This is a move Cignetti can make, and he could go down in history as maybe the greatest football coach ever if he pulls this off. I'm going to save this for the last hour of the show tonight.
All right. Ooh, man, that is a juicy tease. 46 seconds to go, first half. Ole Miss has the ball at their own 26-yard line. They need some points here before they head into the locker room. That's not going to be helpful.
You can't throw five-yard passes when you have no timeouts, 40 seconds left. Come on, you got to stretch the field. We're bragging about Chambliss. You're wasting 20 seconds on a five-yard play. You cannot do that. You got to stretch the field and take some shots.
There you go.
Oh, there's a hit that's going to be flagged,
too. Is that going to be a targeting?
Yep, that's a hit to the head. Jeez. Free 15 yards. Tim, that's going to be key because we're going to get a long field goal attempt from Ole Miss here now before the half.
If not more. Yeah. That's a big, big play. We'll get you more on the other side of the break. Just a reminder, folks, we've got our special holiday special still going on, New Year's special. Everything we have to offer through May 1st, only $79. Final moments of the first half. Also, Todd Furman will give us his thoughts on the first half and what he would do second half in this game.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Man, watching the end of this first half, Ole Miss. Is disaster too strong?
A little bit too strong, but I would say that Ole Miss has really screwed up a few things here, including the last sequence there right before the half, Tim.
Yeah, they should have stepped out of bounds there and gone out of bounds here. So let's head to our progressive guest line and welcome in Todd Furman, and he joins us right now courtesy of our progressive guest line. Todd, what did you make? How would you encapsulize the first half there, 21-12?
That if you're Ole Miss, you have to come away being down 9 points is a massive loss, given that they were arguably the better team for the majority of that first half, shot themselves in the foot, as you guys kind of alluded to, for the end of half situation. You give up the scoop and score defensively, and you come out on the plus side of the ledger from a net yardage standpoint, and now you're staring down the barrel of Kirby in-game adjustments while Pete Golding looked like he needed a little bit of medicine for high blood pressure in his interview right going into the half with Molly McGrath.
Todd, you have a pregame bet here, and what's your position pregame, and what would you look to do here at halftime if so?
I feel like I'm with the masses, Matt, that I have a small position on Georgia, laid some six early on. Of course, saw the money come in on Ole Miss today like everybody else and wasn't quite sure how this first half was going to unfold. Looking at Georgia, a 1.5-point favorite, I'd have a slight lean that way, just given the fact that I think Georgia can find its footing a little bit more effectively than Ole Miss making some of those in-game adjustments. So if folks aren't invested yet, I'd be much closer to betting Georgia minus that 1.5 at the break than I would be looking to make a case for the Rebels plus the 0.5.
21-12 at the half is the score. Georgia with the lead. They got a scoop and score that really kind of changed the trajectory of how this game would play out. Anything you do with the total, it's funny to think, as we were sitting here, Todd, it got down to 48.5 on the live line, and then boom, it goes over the first half total, the first of the four quarterfinals to actually have a first half over hit. And right now, the live total around 59.5. Would you do anything with the total based off of what we saw in the first half?
I don't see a whole heck of a lot of wiggle room here with the 27. I mean, you dig into Georgia's metrics all season long, and this defense has really found its footing in the second half of a lot of these games. They'll change some of their looks, and I just don't trust the interim offensive coaching staff for Ole Miss to make the necessary adjustments. The other thing that we've grown accustomed to, no greater illustration of this than the SEC championship game, that when Kirby gets a multiple score lead, we've known him to get extremely conservative on the offensive side of things. So when you're looking at four touchdowns it'll take to make a case to go over the total, that would normally be my lean. I just don't think it's something I want to get involved in if I don't think Ole Miss will do its fair share of scoring after the break.
I think Todd makes a pretty good point there, Matt. If Georgia comes out, let's say scores a touchdown, maybe we look live total under if they were to kind of try to bleed this thing out.
Yeah, I think Kirby would sit on the lead at that point. Todd, don't you feel like if you bet Georgia, you feel fortunate here at halftime to be up 21-12?
100%. I think anybody that bet George either for the full game or dabbled with the Bulldogs in the first half has to be counting their lucky stars, knowing that it was the defensive touchdown that kind of flipped the script. Ole Miss prematurely going for two early on in this game. And just looking at a number of the things that could have gone wrong for Georgia, I don't think 21-12 is indicative of how this first half played out. But at the same time, I think all of us in the handicap anticipated Georgia doing enough early to be competitive and then hoping they would find a second gear in the second half. So if you told me they'd have been up 9 going into the break in New Orleans, I would have been absolutely thrilled at that scoreline.
Todd Furman with us. And Todd, longtime sportsbook industry insider, sports betting analyst, CBS Sports HQ. Todd, where else are you working now? Every time I look around, I see you in a different spot.
You know how it is, Matt. You have to have multiple gigs in this particular industry to try and keep yourself busy. I'm doing some work with the great folks that covers some NFL coverage there on a week-in, week-out basis, and also covering the NHL with our friends north of the border at TSN. So a lot of fun to talk pucks with some of the Canadians, although I was picking on them earlier today. They said they had to jump through hoops to try and watch some of these college football playoff games.
Yeah, I understand that. Todd, before we get back to college football, let's change things up a little bit here and go to the NFL. Week 18 is a very interesting handicapping challenge in a lot of these games. What spots jump off the board to you as spots you want to bet here in Week 18?
I think we can start with a couple of the marquee games where we know both teams are going to be fully entrenched. The tandem of games on Saturday between Carolina and Tampa. Talked to a lot of people trying to make a case for Carolina as a live underdog. For me, it's a little bit of buyer beware, knowing that just 2 weeks ago, we saw Tampa close a full field goal favorite on the road. I know this Bucs team has kind of taken on water over the last 2 months, But I think this is the ultimate buy low spot. That all being said, Matt, I couldn't get myself to back the Buccaneers here as a 2.5-point favorite, but did go under the total at 44. I think defense can rule the day, and we've seen Dave Canales on the road look to lean on that ground game a little bit more than entrusting the game plan to Bryce Young. In the nightcap, went under the total of 48 between Seattle and San Francisco as well. I think so much is made about this 49ers defense, and rightfully so. But in my opinion, in this particular spot, you're going to see two teams be a little bit more buttoned up. I think Seattle defensively can provide a lot more in the way of resistance than we've seen the 49ers encounter, especially on Sunday Night Football against the Bears. And given the high level of familiarity, I think this game will underwhelm from a points perspective. So went under the total there. Pittsburgh-Baltimore, no strong sentiments for me. Was really hoping, honestly, that once Lamar Jackson got upgraded and as a full participant, that this number would drift out to 4, maybe even 4.5 to make a case for the Steelers. Unfortunately, haven't quite gotten there, but would be looking to try and make a case to go over the total if this number continued to come down, despite Pittsburgh playing without two of their best offensive weapons, with DK Metcalf serving that second game of the suspension and losing the big fella at the tight end position in Darnell Washington.
Todd Furman joining us here, halftime of the Sugar Bowl. Georgia goes into the locker rooms. A lot of jokes being made right now on social media because Joe Judge is the man in charge of the clock management Ole Miss. I think some Giant fans are scratching their heads thinking, why in the world would Joe Judge be in charge of clock management?
Kind of manage the clock there like Judge Judy.
Or
she might have done a better job. That was a pretty poor job there at the end. Yeah.
Or like Joe Judge did when he was with the New York Giants. Yeah. We do have a early line here and a little bit of line movement for next week's Peach Bowl, which will be a week from Friday. We saw the 47.5 start to get scooped up, 47, 46.5 total. South Point, our friend Chris Andrews, has a 47.5 still. Fours out there. What do you make of this number early, Todd, between Indiana and Oregon, a rematch of a game we got on October 11th?
Hey, real quick note, guys, on the halftime number between Ole Miss and Georgia, we haven't seen much in the way of movement on the side. We have seen, however, support for the under. All the 27.5 disappearing from market. A lot of the more prominent books in faraway places now juicing the 27, heavily shaded to the under. So I think folks out there sharing a lot of our sentiments that may be entering in play if Georgia gets an early score provides the best opportunity. In terms of the Peach Bowl, look, my numbers coming into this week made Indiana a 4.5-point favorite. And while I think a lot of people would be itching to upgrade Indiana after that domination of Alabama, Tim, I haven't exactly held back on my overall sentiments in terms of how I've graded out the Crimson Tide. Had a chance to see them live against Oklahoma. So while Indiana was impressive, who they beat doesn't impress me nearly as much as the way Oregon was able to completely clamp down against Texas Tech. So I think the side is fair, but I am in full agreement with the under that has taken a little bit of money. I do think there is a 48 out there at Caesars right now for folks that may want to try and get involved there. And I think we could see this number continue to trend down as both of these teams are going to want to establish the run like we saw in the first meeting. And I think both of these defenses will be up for the task a week from today.
Todd, we were seeing steam on Texas Tech this morning. How do you interpret a lot of the steam moves we've seen during the College Football Bowl and playoff season here?
It's always interesting, Matt, when you go through some of these secondary bowl games compared to what we've seen in the playoff games. Clearly, the steam was dead right last night with Miami. I mean, they bet that game before kickoff like they knew the final score throughout the market. You watch a couple of drives there, and you felt like that was a field goal game either way. Texas Tech money coming in as strongly as it did surprised me a little bit, seeing a favorite flip with Tech moving out to a 1.5-point favorite. Defensively, they looked every bit the part of a contender. Offensively, that was extremely underwhelming, but given how long they hung around, you thought they might have a puncher's chance until Baron Morton got intercepted in the end zone. And even in tonight's game, this number never really got to 7 other than in early wagering. You had very strong, sharp support coming in on Ole Miss, taking it a lot of prominent books around town and offshore down to 5.5. Didn't necessarily agree there. And then we had a couple of steam moves in some of the marquee bowl games outside the playoff yesterday. I mean, Michigan goes from 7, closes 3.5, look great at 27-24, can't get across the finish line. But those folks who grabbed the early line, whether it was with the points or money line, of course, get rewarded with Iowa moving from a 6-point dog down to 3. So it's a little bit of a mixed bag. And as you guys know all too well, nothing that you want to follow or tail blindly this time of year.
Well, just remember, Todd, Vanderbilt didn't care, but Texas did. Just remember that, you know, when we're talking about the SEC. Appreciate you jumping on, man. I know you're busy. Appreciate you giving us some thoughts on what we saw in the first half, and I'll talk to you soon.
Always a pleasure, gentlemen. Enjoy the second half, and let's hope Georgia pulls away comfortably for
us. Let's do that. That would be nice. I mean, if they want to land the plane in the middle and lose by 14 or less and lose by 7 to 14, that would be fine. But appreciate Todd Furman, his analysis there. You could follow him on Twitter. By the way, he's got a Twitter poll up right now. What would you do? Oregon or Indiana? Lay the 4.5? With Indiana, take the 4.5. With Oregon, 72% of the early votes on his very unofficial Twitter poll on Indiana. Halftime at the Sugar Bowl, 21-12. Georgia with the lead over Ole Miss. And Georgia will get the ball to start the second half.